The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Variety Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericavariety.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
This program contains explicit content and subject matter which may be unsuitable for some listeners. Discretion is advised. Sex Out Loud is brought to you by Good Vibrations, creating a buzz since 1977.
Smart, sexy, kinky, fun.
Welcome to Sex Out Loud with your host, sex educator, author, and filmmaker, Tristan Taramino. It's sex-positive radio like you've never heard before. Tristan talks about sexuality from every angle with leading authors, experts, artists, and icons. From sex education and sexual politics to BDSM and non-monogamy, nothing is off limits. So get ready to open your mind and expand your horizons. This is Sex Out Loud. And now here's your host, Tristan Taramino.
Welcome to Sex Out Loud. Today's show is being recorded in front of a live studio audience at Catalyst Con West in Woodland Hills, California. And my guest is Danny Wild. Catalyst Con is an amazing sex positive event that you do not want to miss. The next one is in March in Washington, D.C. You can go to catalystcon.com for more information. And if you register, use the coupon code Tristan for a discount. Danny Wild is a pornographer, writer, musician, and filmmaker living here in Los Angeles. He has been a porn performer since 2006 and has appeared in over 130 films. Wild and fellow porn star Lily LeBeau contributed a film of themselves having sex on the website Make Love Not Porn. And they later appeared on the Jeff Probst Show to talk about Make Love Not Porn along with its founder, Cindy Gallup. Danny recently stepped behind the camera to shoot, score, and edit the new movie Manhunt Ibiza, directed by and starring Lily LeBeau and Lou Charmel. Wild previously played in tech metal bands, he is now one half of the synthetic metal band Children with Two Eyes. And the band is signed with Bit Riot Records and has released an EP entitled The Other People. He wrote a chapter for the feminist porn book, which I co-edited, and his first novel, Come to My Brother, was published this year by Queer Young Cowboys. He updates his personal blog at True, the word true, but with a V, T-R-V-E, westcoastfiction.blogspot.com. Welcome to Sex Out Loud, Danny Wild.
Thank you for having me. I'm sorry for spelling everything incorrectly.
And all oh, what, that I had to spell it all out?
Well, my band and my blog and everything is just all spelled wrong on purpose.
Okay, well, that's why I spelled it for them. So yeah, they'll know. I thought I would take this opportunity. I've had you on the show before,
yes.
But that was not enough for me personally. And I thought because we're at Catalyst and there's a robust discussion about porn here, that we might kind of peek inside the life of a male porn star to begin.
Okay.
What do you think most people incorrectly assume about male porn performers?
I think the biggest assumption, or just what, at least straight guys, I get this all the time from straight guys, that like porn is just about you get to fuck girls all day and like, how great is that?
How great is that?
Sometimes it's great. I'm not going to lie. It's sometimes great, but actually starting out almost always bad. As a brand new male performer, almost always terrible.
Terrible how?
Because you're like, yeah, I'm used to having sex in my bedroom with like some girl who really likes me. And then I get to set and there's all these people standing around and I don't get to do what I want when I want. I got to wait. And then maybe she has no interest in me or is like really ambivalent about the whole thing. And then we take photos first where I need to get an erection, but like we're not really having sex and I have to stop
a lot
all the time. Like pull out. All right, pull your, take your dick out and like keep it sort of in. All right, stop. And do that. And then put your clothes back on. And then we're going to do the intro to this video. And then you're going to have sex. And then who knows what you're feeling at that point. So it's a job. Like any, I mean, and it's not about you. Yeah, I think that's really what you have to figure out. It's, it needs to be in the sense that you have to figure out how to make your cock work and to still try to interact with the person in front of you. But it's not about you having sex with girls. It's about doing that so other people can enjoy it.
And so speaking of the erection, which is a plays a critical role in pornography, obviously, but it is the kind of major preoccupation on most sets, not on my sets and not on some people's sets, but there is all of this sort of anxiety, hope, and fear around whether the erection will appear, whether it will maintain itself, when it will go away, when it will come back, how it will work, all these things.
Right.
So my question to you is, in my personal observation, working with, you know, dozens and dozens of male performers over the years, is everyone has these kind of little tricks. You know, I know this one performer who drinks this particular flavor of muscle milk before he performs. And I know this other performer who has a raw egg before he performs. And they all are convinced this is going to affect their erection and their ejaculation. And so do you have a kind of a pre-ritual? And how much of this is physical and how much of it is mental?
I mean, my ritual is not that complex. And I've done other things in the past of like, I thought it was like really a big deal, but I think a lot of it is psychological. At the same time, I think like most of us are using like pharmaceuticals, like ED drugs to help out with this. And I'm one of those people, but before every scene, I kind of like go to the bathroom, kind of like jerk off for a little bit. So in my own head, like I'm there. Because I think a lot of times I get these nerves that on set. If
still.
Still. That like if it's not sort of happening, like I start to panic. So if I have like kind of an erection and then I come out and like, all right. So I'm like in the right mindset. I think it just makes it a lot easier.
Fascinating. Yeah. I didn't even know this about you, Danny Wilde.
But you'll notice like, most sets I like go to the bathroom.
No, I know you go to the bathroom, but I thought you maybe were peeing, yeah, brushing your teeth.
I usually,
you could be doing a lot of things.
I usually do pee. I usually like maybe like freshen up a little bit, but then I also like jerk off for a minute.
How often do you have genuine chemistry and an actual great time on the set?
You know, I think it happens more as I go on. Like I feel like this past year in particular, maybe it's just becoming more established and then feeling more confident about that. And then actually people know who you are and maybe want to work with you becomes a bigger deal so that I'm not just some guy, but like, yeah, they like have seen me or know who I am. So,
or even requested you.
Yeah, exactly. So then I also start to know a lot of my fellow performers. And then, you know, I think we get these like little crushes on each other and not necessarily like we want to date each other, but it's like, it's fun to get to fuck your friends that you're like kind of crushed out on. And I try to make some sort of connection every time. And you know, that doesn't always happen, but I would say these days definitely above 50%.
So when I shot you for these sex ed shorts that I did for the Smitten Kitten, and it was you and Dylan Ryan, who's another performer, and you had never worked together before, but right. I liked both of you a lot and you agreed to work together. And one of the things that was going on during that shoot was that CNN was on the set filming B-roll. The CNN people were, well, they'd never been on a set before, right? So they were just like, whoa, what's going on? And I will never, ever, ever forget that after your scene, which I have to say is some of It's the best chemistry I've ever seen on a set. I mean, you guys like went after each other like there was no tomorrow, like you could never have sex again. There was a level of passion and just like ravishment that, you know, it's hard to achieve when all that other stuff is going on. And it just clicked for you. And I believe that that can absolutely happen on porn sets, and it clicked. So after it was all done and we did these interviews and blah, 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 the CNN person pulled me aside and said, I think they might be falling in love. And I thought, like she said, do you think after this they might even like date each other? And I'm thinking in my mind, actually, Danny has a steady girlfriend. Don't know if he's looking for another one. Dylan Ryan's a dyke mostly who fucks men. So I don't think they're going to date. No. But what struck me later thinking about it was she saw something. She saw what I would consider connection, what I would consider chemistry, what I would consider intimacy. She named it in a language that she uses, what makes sense to her. Those right. people seem to be in love. I just wonder how do you establish intimacy? Like, did a lightning bolt just strike down in that scene or what?
No, I think it's just you do this for a while and you kind of come to understand that, like, you can have these connections with people, like in any part of your life, when you interact with people, like you try to connect with them in some way, I think. I mean, at least if you want to know anything about them. So if you're put in a situation or your job is to connect with people sexually, you have to just figure out how that works. And with Dylan, I'd known about her prior to this. Like, she's really cute. I'm attracted to her physically. When I met her in person, like, I think her personality is awesome, and like, it's on your set, which just, I think you take a lot of extra care in pairing people together who you think will work well. I think you did call me to ask if I'd be into working with her.
Because she asked if she could work with you, and then, but that okay. has to kind of go both ways.
Right, right. Yeah. So, I mean, there was a like pre-level of some sort of excitement. And I think even though I do this for a living, it's like when there's someone who I kind of want to have sex with, who then I know I'm about to get the opportunity to, like, that's always exciting, especially in real life, but you can translate that to porn, and porn is my real life. So yeah, I think it just, you know, it's natural to feel that way when you're excited to fuck someone. I don't know.
Okay. We're going to take a break and hear from our fantastic sponsors, including Good Vibrations, which is just one of the most amazing stores on the planet. And they have an incredibly well-curated collection of fantastic sex positive and feminist porn at goodvibrationsvod.com. Or if you want to shop the old-fashioned way, meaning the internet, which isn't very old-fashioned, you can go to goodvibes.com and use the coupon code TristanGoodVibes for 20% off your purchase. Stay with us. More Sex Out Loud with rock star Danny Wilde when we return.
Streaming live. The leader in internet talk radio. VoiceAmerica.com.
Good Vibrations is the San Francisco Bay Area-based women-friendly retailer trusted for more than three decades to provide a comfortable, welcoming, and safe environment for quality sex toys, educational materials, and products that enhance and empower one's sex life. Good Vibrations offers its products at 6 retail locations in San Francisco, Berkeley, and Oakland, California, and in Brookline, Massachusetts, as well as online at www.goodvibes.com. Online ordering is discreet and trusted. We believe that pleasure is your birthright, and one of our highly trained staff members can help you choose the product that is perfect for you at 1-800-BUY-VIBE. Call us 7 days a week from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. Pacific Time at 1-800-289-8423 or visit us online at www.goodvibes.com.
Ready to take your sex life to the next level? Let Tristan Taramino's award-winning expert guide sex education series help. Each DVD is packed with honest information, explicit techniques, scorching sex scenes, authentic chemistry, and real female orgasms. Go to puckerup.com and use coupon code SEXOUTLOUD for 25% off your order.
You're tuned in to Sex Out Loud with your host, Tristan Taramino. We want to hear from you. If you have a question or comment, please send an email to Tristan at puckerup.com. That's Tristan at puckerup.com. Now back to the show.
Welcome back to Sex Out Loud. Today I'm talking with porn performer and musician, writer, and artist Danny Wild. Danny, at the very beginning of your career, you shot for the kink.com website Men in Pain, and that features women dominating male submissives and often fucking them in the ass with strap-ons. Mm-hmm. You've kind of evolved over these years, and now when folks go to kink.com and their network of sites, they can see a different Danny Wild. I've seen some scenes where you can be definitely sadistic, and sometimes a very strict and convincing dominant. So tell me how these roles have shifted for you.
This was the first porn that I had any opportunity to be a part of, was this like femdom porn. And it's not because I was looking at pornography as like a career choice. It was just like I needed a job and this was something I found on the internet to apply to. On the other end of that, I was actually interested in BDSM, but had no experience or very little experience with it. And I think being in a submissive position was a way for me to learn about things. Because, I mean, if you would have asked me to dominate someone when I was 19, I don't know what I would do. I mean, I had some idea of what that meant in my head, but if I was on the other end, I wouldn't have trusted me. I mean, that's not a good idea. So I have a submissive side. I mean, I don't think that that's completely disappeared. So being submissive, having things done to me, it really is sexual exploration. And so from, you know, age 19 to say 24 or something like that, I did a lot of submissive work. And throughout that time, I started to like figure out what I was actually into and not. And I also started to learn that, you know, sometimes in a pornographic context, they aren't always hiring people who know what they're doing. So on the other end, there's like women who are hired to beat me up who
don't have skills.
Yes. So it got like frustrating every once in a while to be in that position. And especially once I started to learn how to be dominant in my personal life, then to have someone do that to me who I didn't really trust or didn't like just pissed me off. So I think at this point in my career, I mean, there's a couple things. I think as a more prominent male performer, especially in straight porn, I think there's something to be said for having like this appeal of machismo and being like more of a dominant person. And that's part of why I do this now only. And the other end is like, I've kind of come to really like that role. And I've started to have partners in real life who like being on the other side of things. And I don't know if that's just a natural progression, but I feel pretty comfortable with it now.
It looks like we have a question from our fabulous audience here at CatalystCon West.
Hi, I'm Maya. So I've been following you on the online machine. Really appreciated your writing. And one of the things you said, it was actually in light of the moratorium, everything that was going on, I've been repeating this to people, which was something, I guess you had a friend that said, I can't afford to do porn anymore.
Right.
So I'm like, they can't afford to do porn. So my question is, I guess if you could just speak to a little bit of that, like changes in the industry. I know that the whole thing has been in flux. I don't know, Tristan, if you want to talk about that too. But yeah, just kind of like where you're at, how you feel about that. Can you afford to do porn? and whatnot.
Yeah, I don't want to go on a huge side tangent here, but I mean, media of all kinds has been disrupted over this past decade because of, you know, the internet, piracy, things like that. Porn has its own problems, which this past year has to do a lot with STI exposure incidents. In straight porn, we haven't used condoms hardly ever. And that's starting to change because we've had some veteran performers lie about their STI statuses. We've had a number of people come up positive for HIV recently. It's very debatable on whether or not that has anything to do with their practice in the industry. My opinion is that it has a lot to do with the state of the industry as a whole, whereas because of financial disruption, there aren't as many jobs. So as a sex worker, I mean, one of your major skill sets is having sex. So if you go outside of the industry and you, for example, escort, which is participating in prostitution, or you do a number of other things, you don't have the same, there's no one looking out and saying like, you have to abide by these rules. You can essentially do whatever you want. And people have been able to do this throughout the entire history of pornography. It's just that more and more recently, it's like we're having more of a problem with this. So why, there's questions as to why that is. Again, that's not the point of this conversation, but essentially I'm doing okay. You know, I'm fairly well established at this point. So when porn is in production, I'm working fairly consistently. But yeah, I do have friends who aren't working as consistently, and we have to pay for our own tests, which is a thing, and they keep getting more expensive as this shit keeps going on.
And more frequent. So the industry standard was 30 days or less you had to test for STIs, including chlamydia, gonorrhea, syphilis, hepatitis A and B, vaginal bacterial infection with a really long name, and HIV. Yeah. Right. So it was every 30 days and they paid for it themselves. And just recently, very recently, they changed it to every 14 days. Yeah. So that means an extra $200+ a month.
Right. You know, it just becomes like people are like, all right, I just got a test and now the industry shut down and I can't work. So, and to go back once it's up and running again, I got to test again. And then who knows if anyone's going to hire me, blah, blah, blah. And it just becomes like, for some people, that's a really scary cycle. And
on a more uplifting note, I want to talk about one of the best porn scenes I've ever shot in my career because you happen to be in it. It's a scene from the very first Rough Sex movie with you and Sasha Grey. Uh-huh. It is a switch scene. Oh, we're going to have some. Oh, my audience is going to clap for that.
Thank you.
I'm loving that. It's a switch scene where you take turns, each of you being dominant and submissive. And I'm wondering if you'll tell me what you remember about shooting that scene. And then I'll tell you what I remember.
You had called me and told me that Sasha Grey had requested to work with me, which was first like a weird thing for me at that time. That was not super well known. I mean, you obviously knew who I was, but like I was cool within like the alt porn crowd and that's about it. And Sasha Grey was like really the last porn star, like actual porn star that we have. So I was like, yeah, that's pretty cool. Like my friends knew who Sasha Grey was. So I get there. And it wasn't initially like we had this great chemistry. Like we didn't really talk to each other. She was like, hey, and then kind of did her own thing. So I was like, okay, I'll sit in the corner, kind of get ready. And then we had this conversation at the beginning where there's a pool table in between us. We're kind of talking about what we're going to do, but it's like, I'm on like one end and she's on the other end and I keep getting closer. And then like Tristan like joked about it to me. I think that's my memory anyway. And then the sex happened and like immediately it was working. And we went over like our boundaries. And one of her boundaries was like, don't slap my tits. Halfway through the scene, I am just like really in the moment and I slap her tits.
And let me just interject here and say this memory is very similar for me of how we all went. Maybe we'll go back and forth. So you slap her tits. And what happens is every single person in the room, who by the way was there during the negotiation process, we filmed the negotiation process, has a collective, oh shit.
Yeah, well that was I was immediately aware of it. So.
Yeah.
I did something. I know you can't see me, but my hands like go back sort of. I'm still like, my cock is in her, but I'm like, oh fuck, because she's on top of me and she could cancel the scene, really.
Yes. So this is the thing. I would say that, first of all, anyone on my set has the right to just stop at any time and be like, okay, that was fucked up. But also on any set, I would say Sasha Grey, at that point, the height of her career, could literally walk out of there. And then when people told the story, not a lot of people would blame her. They'd be like, oh, that happened? Fucking Danny Wilde. So that is like a real possibility that's like about to happen. And I'm like, oh no. And so what went on?
So she kind of like slowly got up and turned around, but she didn't really say stop. She didn't stop the scene. But I was scared at this point. But it switched the dynamic in a really interesting way. She like basically got on top of my chest with her knees and started like putting her foot in my mouth and I think fucking my face. And I'm just like looking at her like, whatever you want to do. And then came, I think, possibly like one of the weirdest, most sincere moments I've had in a scene where she's like face to face with me and I apologize. And I'm like, I'm so sorry. I didn't mean to do that. And she's like, I know. And it's okay. And we kept going. Like, it was like we negotiated me breaking her boundaries in the middle of a scene. And that's still in there, which I think is just a very strange thing. I don't think you can really recapture that in probably anything else and have it go okay, which I'm so thankful for. And I think it just makes that scene really special.
Yeah. I mean, for me, what was happening throughout the whole thing was, obviously, all of a sudden, there was this like fireworks between you. And I didn't see it at first in that sort of pre-game kind of, you know, when you guys kind of check each other out. But it was happening. And I was like, oh my God, this is happening. And I got really wrapped up in the scene, which is probably why I had such an emotional reaction to the slap of the tits. And then after the slap of the tits, she really took charge and the whole thing like changed. And then it went back to being totally intense and crazy in a good way. So a couple things happened. One is that the person shooting that scene is a veteran shooter, a second generation pornographer. He's worked for 15 years in the business. I mean, he's just brilliant. And I was watching the monitor, and what I saw was a typical occurrence, which is the battery is running low, it's about to die, and the battery flashes there. This is an easy catch that Ralph, who's my guy, would like, I mean, this is like a no-brainer for him, right? And I shoot with two cameras, so we're not going to lose anything, right? He can stop, change the battery, come back in. That's my preference rather than shutting the whole thing down, because that really breaks momentum. So it starts blinking. He doesn't do anything about it. It keeps blinking. He doesn't do anything about it. So finally, I went very quietly and I tapped him on the shoulder and I was like, hey, your battery is about to die. And he turns to me and he's like, I got this. And I realized like he had been swept up in the sex, which is like crazy because he shoots sex for a living every day, all day long. And he was so distracted by what was going on that he was like, no, I'm fine. And I also got really swept up in it too. You know, I will admit straightforwardly that I'm working when I'm directing. There are so many things going on. There are always things going wrong. I'm rarely able to just get kind of lost in a scene. And not only was I lost in that scene, I was actually turned on to the point that I was uncomfortable with the situation. Because you know when you're so... Do you know when you're so turned on that you think everyone else knows that you're turned on? I mean, for guys, it could be really obvious if you're like, you know, have this giant erection. But for me, it's like I thought everyone knew. And I was like, this is really unprofessional, right? But I went with it. And so we get through the whole scene and Danny comes and like usually there's this basic rule in etiquette, which is that before the cum shot or the cum, you stop, you break, you set up for the shot. If the guy needs to do something specific in order to cum, you do that, you know, whatever. So you stop, you pause, everyone knows it's coming. So this is what happens. He just comes and I'm just like hoping we captured it. And then, you know, as you do. And then at the very end, I'm like, oh my God, we didn't shoot any still photography at all. Okay, so sometimes you shoot all the stills up front, and sometimes what you do is you go halfway through, you shoot the stills from that point backwards, and then that point where you think maybe you're going forwards, right? You sort of, you recreate it, and then you imagine what you might be doing. And he's still hard. This is before he's come. Like, they've got the, you know what I mean? That's when you do the stills. Well, he's come. They're both sweating. They look like crap. And it's over. And I don't have a single photograph of it.
But it wasn't. I don't know. Like, I just, I like got a boner again almost immediately. And it was just, yeah, Sasha Grey is pretty awesome. I mean, there's a reason she's a fucking amazing porn star. And we got all the stills. I don't know how.
It's true. It's true.
Yeah. So I'm sorry for stressing you out so hard on that shoot, but I think it came out pretty good.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, we have another question from our audience.
So my name is Colton, and I am in the room here at CatalystCon because I'm actually on the mixing board for this radio show. But I was also in the building for this scene, and I just want to give your listeners a little glimpse of what happened right after the scene. They walked out and they were all so high, it took them hours to land. And I mean hours. I mean, Tristan walked around being like, oh my God. They were just floating. Danny too. Danny like sat on the couch and didn't leave for a couple hours because you're like, I'm just going to sit here.
Yeah. There weren't even complete sentences. You just were like, I can't leave. Are you leaving? Do I need to go? Thank you for that insight, Colton.
Yes, thank you.
Okay, so we're going to take a break and hear from some more sponsors. And when we come back, we are going to talk about Danny's other projects because he's quite the Renaissance man. We're going to talk about his music, his art, and his new novel. So stay with us. We'll be back after a break.
The Internet's number one talk station. Number one talk station. VoiceAmerica.com.
Turn off the TV and pick up the remote control that is sure to please. Worn while making love, the WeVibe 3 features whisper quiet motors that will keep you anything but quiet. We can't help it if the rechargeable battery lasts longer than you do. Learn more about the world's number one vibrator for couples at WeVibe.com. WeVibe, share the pleasure.
Good Vibrations is the San Francisco Bay Area-based women-friendly retailer trusted for more than three decades to provide a comfortable, welcoming, and safe environment for quality sex toys, educational materials, and products that enhance and empower one's sex life. Good Vibrations offers its products at six retail locations in San Francisco, Berkeley, and Oakland, California, and in Brookline, Massachusetts, as well as online at www.goodvibes.com. Online ordering is discreet and trusted. We believe that pleasure is your birthright, and one of our highly trained staff members can help you choose the product that is perfect for you at 1-800-BUY-VIBE. Call us 7 days a week from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. Pacific Time at 1-800-289-8423 or visit us online at www.goodvibes.com.
Ready to take your sex life to the next level? Let Tristan Taramino's award-winning expert guide sex education series help. Each DVD is packed with honest information, explicit techniques, scorching sex scenes, authentic chemistry, and real female orgasms. Go to puckerup.com and use coupon code SEXOUTLOUD for 25% off your order.
You're tuned in to Sex Out Loud with your host, Tristan Taramino. We want to hear from you. If you have a question or comment, please send an email to Tristan@puckerup.com. That's Tristan@puckerup.com. Now back to the show.
Welcome back to Sex Out Loud. We're talking today with adult performer, musician, and novelist, Danny Wild. So one of the things we're doing for this fabulous audience at Catalyst Con West is we're giving away amazing prizes from some of our sponsors. One lucky audience member is going to win the amazing vibrator, the WeVibe Thrill. This is a fantastic vibrator that has won multiple international awards. It's a great, great, great toy for women. And you guys, you're lucky to be able to go home with it. Also, we're giving away the Aqua Rabbit from Good Vibrations. So there's swag galore here, people. And look, I think I've motivated them because there's another audience question.
Hi, my name is Charlie Knox, and I'm a dating coach. So I have sort of a like selfish question for you. So I work specifically with people who have like cancer and other really big barriers to dating. And something I don't tell my clients, I'm a cancer survivor, so I have some experience with that. But I actually think it's harder to date as a dating coach and a sex educator than it is as a cancer survivor. So I'm curious what, from your perspective, what it's like for you to date. Do you date people only inside the industry? Is that a common practice? How do sex professionals date? Like, do you like, can you go on OkCupid and like date a nice girl? And do you have any tips for people about like how to overcome something that they think is really difficult in the world of dating?
You know, I don't really have a ton of great advice with this because really I've been in two long-term relationships during my career and they've both been with other sex workers and not just other sex workers, but other porn performers. So I honestly have no experience dating outside of the industry since I've been in the industry. And from what I hear, it's difficult and it's difficult even in the industry. I mean, I don't know, during the good parts of my relationships, I think they were pretty awesome, but I mostly met them on set or through work or something like that.
So I want to just clarify a point. Okay. You had sex with these women before you dated or fell in love with them.
Yeah, that's true.
It's a totally unique situation. I mean, how do you even explain it, right?
Right.
Because that's not usually the order. Right? I'm not judging you saying like let's like lay it out. Like you fucked this person and then you went home and you were like, "Huh. It was like better than usual. I liked her too. I want to go to a movie or something. I don't know. I don't even know what Danny Wild does on a date."
Yeah, you're kind of right. I mean, you're absolutely right. So, it's hard for me to really give advice to other people because I think my dating life is a little unusual in that respect. And I think, and like I said, it's only really happened twice to the point where I, you know, fell in love with these people and we've had like long-term meaningful relationships. So,
well, I want to talk about some other things, but I want to know if anyone else has questions related to porn from the audience before we move on. Oh, yes, we do.
Okay. Hi, I'm Adam from Los Angeles. My question is, is the sex for you different when you're working in a porn set versus the sex you have in your personal life?
Yes, the sex is different. Sometimes not substantially. I think there are instances like maybe like with Dylan on your set or something like that where, I mean, it is, you are a little bit hyper aware of what's going on around you. And I think especially as a male performer, there are all these tricks that you kind of learn and they become part of your body language while having sex for work.
Spell some of those out.
So like, for example, this is less true for Tristan's work. People want to see penetration. So like everything needs to be opened up for that, which often means like having sex at an angle or like holding someone's ass open or like often keeping whatever arm is towards the camera out of the way. Things like that so that essentially the camera has the best shot and that doesn't necessarily correlate to me having the best physical connection with my partner. So at home, I don't give a shit about any of that. And it's just, I have sex the way I like or how my partner likes or something to that effect.
We've got another question from our great Catalyst Con audience.
Hi, I'm Corey Bradshaw. And this morning I actually went up to you and was like, have we been on a panel before? I recognize you from somewhere. I know your face. Do I know you? And you're like, I'm Danny Wild. I was like, oh. So I have two questions. One, how often does that happen? And two, I watch queer porn and I know a lot of people on, once I realized who you were, I realized who you were. What do you think your crossover appeal comes from? I know that like I watch queer dyke porn and I know that I have gay guys that love you and straight people that love you. Where do you think that crossover appeal comes from?
You know, it's not, I don't think to the same degree that like maybe someone in mainstream film gets recognized, but it happens like frequently enough. I think like at least every other week or something like that, but it's not, I'm not getting swarmed by people. You know what I mean? It's just like, it's usually actually at the gym, which is weird.
And, well, they can recognize yeah. other parts of you right there in the locker room. Wasn't his face, I remember.
Right. And then my crossover appeal. Well, here's a weird thing. And this is going to probably go into the discussion around my book because I am a straight porn star at this point in my life. That's not necessarily how I define my sexuality. And particularly when I was younger, I had sex with men. And it's like coming into porn was a weird thing to figure out that you have to pick a side essentially to have a career. You have to be either gay or straight. At the very beginning, I didn't realize that. And I did some gay porn and it sucks. I really don't want you to go look at it because I'm really bad at porn back then. But yeah, you can see me getting fucked in the ass by a guy and I don't know. It's like whatever it is back then. But then I, at a certain point in my career, was like, I don't think it's that big of a deal. I think people are now becoming a little bit more fluid with their sexuality. So I tried consciously to reintroduce that slowly. And I did this scene where I made out with a friend of mine who's male while we were getting blowjobs from a girl and people loved it. And I got all this critical acclaim. And then I was like, well, why don't I just do a bi scene and like we'll suck each other's cocks. And I did that. Couple weeks later, after the movie was released, there was an HIV incident in the industry, and everyone blamed gay crossover guys.
A gay crossover is this it's used very much in a derogatory way, but right. is a performer who works in gay porn and then crosses over to straight porn. And there's a lot of homophobia, a lot of fear, and a lot of total bullshit around them.
Right. Right. I mean, it just became this thing where anyone who had done any sort of gay stuff in the past, like you were automatically looked at as high risk for HIV dissemination among the population. So I, and up until this day, have been completely blacklisted from working with any people from my old agency. And so I just made a decision at some point, you know, like I'm known for doing straight porn and because I'm also attracted to women, this sounds kind of bad in a way, but it's easier in society, I think, to just put yourself out there as that. You don't, I'm already a marginalized sex worker, so if I'm a straight porn star, you have a longer career. There are a lot of financial implications that just make that easier. So that's my decision, and that's what I'm doing right now. But I think that people can pick up maybe on a queer identity or something like that. And what I do in my personal life is no one's fucking business as long as I'm staying safe. So that's all I have to say.
Okay, then. We're going to get a round of applause for that. We're going to take a break and hear from our sponsors, including Astroglide. Astroglide has a great new product. And that is the Sensitive Skin Gel. It's everything you love about Astroglide Gel without all the harsh ingredients. So there's no glycerin, there's no parabens, and there are great things like aloe and chamomile. Go to astroglide.com, find out more. Stay with us. We'll be back.
Stimulating talk.
It gets those synapses in the brain firing really fast.
All the time. The number one internet talk station where your opinion counts. VoiceAmerica.com.
Enhance pleasure for you and the ones you love to love with Astroglide personal lubricants. Astroglide provides that extra oomph in creating a better and more exciting sexual experience. Astroglide's wide product range allows you to pick and choose based on personal preferences. All the products are also latex condom compatible, allowing for safer sex practices. Astroglide values the benefits of a fun and healthy sex life as part of a happier lifestyle. And so should you. For more information and a free sample, visit astroglide.com and get your sex life to blast off today.
Good Vibrations is the San Francisco Bay Area-based women-friendly retailer trusted for more than three decades to provide a comfortable, welcoming, and safe environment for quality sex toys, educational materials, and products that enhance and empower one's sex life. Good Vibrations offers its products at six retail locations in San Francisco, Berkeley, and Oakland, California, and in Brookline, Massachusetts, as well as online at www.goodvibes.com. Online ordering is discreet and trusted. We believe that pleasure is your birthright, and one of our highly trained staff members can help you choose the product that is perfect for you at 1-800-BUY-VIBE. Call us 7 days a week from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. Pacific Time at 1-800-289-8423 or visit us online at www.goodvibes.com.
Ready to take your sex life to the next level? Let Tristan Taramino's award-winning expert guide sex education series help. Each DVD is packed with honest information, explicit techniques, scorching sex scenes, authentic chemistry, and real female orgasms. Go to puckerup.com and use coupon code SEXOUTLOUD for 25% off your order.
You're tuned in to Sex Out Loud with your host, Tristan Taramino. We want to hear from you. If you have a question or comment, please send an email to Tristan at puckerup.com. That's Tristan at puckerup.com. Now back to the show.
Welcome back to Sex Out Loud. I'm talking today in front of a live studio audience at Catalyst Con West with Danny Wild. Your first novel, Come to My Brother, was recently published, and I have to say it is a compelling story filled with a coming-of-age tale, first love, really hot guy-on-guy sex, heartbreak, and vampires. So here's what I'm going to say about this book, people. I am not into vampires. In my fiction, I guess, is what I want to say. I'm not into vampires in fiction. Like, I don't get into that sort of supernatural sci-fi fantasy thing. But Danny, you're a really good storyteller. And I have to say that it's actually a page turner from someone who reads, you know, several books a week. I was just really drawn into this world that you created, and I was captivated by the characters. And whenever someone writes a novel with a character, the main character, that slightly resembles themselves, inevitably there is speculation about, you know, what part of this is true? Like, what part of this, like, really happened? So I have to ask you, Danny, are you a vampire?
Yes.
Okay. At the center of the story is this intense love between David and Daniel. This is another mind fuck you gave me, which is that the love interest in the book is of the main character is named Daniel. And then Daniel used to be what people called you in porn before you changed to Danny Wild. So you're really like jacking me up with like, who is Danny in the book? Who represents Danny? Okay, so there's David and there's Daniel. And I'm wondering, you know, you're a straight porn star, which you just told us about, in a world that celebrates hypermasculinity and an industry that can be really homophobic. Were you worried at all that people would freak the fuck out that you wrote a book with gay male love and sex all over it?
Well, I have to first say that I wrote this book kind of a long time ago. I wrote it without any knowledge of like the industry and such. But my writing, my writing since then, especially the stuff that I haven't been showing people, kind of continues a similar theme. So I feel like the people, this is my feeling about this. people who are like super homophobic in the industry or elsewhere and have these like really insane opinions about stuff, I feel like they don't read that much. I don't know if that's just me, but like you have to have a very like weird bubble mindset that you aren't really influenced by the world at large. And so, yeah, if people see the cover of this with me like kind of in embrace with my friend Wolf Hudson, maybe they might be like, oh, that fag or whatever. But at the same time, like, are they going to come across this? Probably not.
Okay, it's fair enough. Now, the ending of this book is, well, it's pretty dark. And some of the images that you've created in it and created elsewhere in your life are also really violent and dark. And in person, I tend to think of you as generally sunny and upbeat. So what's the deal?
Yeah, I think a lot of people ask me this. I'm drawn to particularly like transgressive subject matter when it comes to any sort of art form. And I think that has a lot to do with growing up in like metal and hardcore subculture. And that's just become like my aesthetic. Like violence is a way to, it's like used basically as a metaphor to describe certain emotions we go through. And a lot of my work, I look back to periods of time when I was particularly young, like in high school. And for me, I think a lot of other people, we can look to those times when we felt emotional in a way that is not really rational. And you kind of, especially when you're coming to terms with your sexuality and the ideas of love and wanting people and the fear of rejection and all of that shit, that when you're like 15 years old, that means the world to you. And if something goes wrong, like you really, it's like the end of the world. And I think that ideas of violence and even self-inflicted violence can become these very, very necessary projections for what that feels like. So going forward in my life, I don't feel really that unhappy most of the time. I mean, it comes up occasionally, but I feel like that is a way to externalize that stuff in a healthy way. And I don't know, just visually speaking, I like the way that looks. I don't know how to explain that other than it's like a visceral connection to like sadism and masochism on like an extreme level that goes on beyond like what I'm morally comfortable with. And I don't know how to explain necessarily why I'm drawn to that, but it's just like people who are into horror movies or something like that. You get some sort of satisfaction out of watching that or creating that.
So another theme for me in this book, and because there's so much flashy sex and violence, I don't know that many people may focus on this, but there are themes in the book around family. Mm-hmm. Around what constitutes a family, who belongs in a family, who doesn't belong in a family, recreating chosen family among the vampires. I'm wondering where your relationship with your family is, especially because you are in a stigmatized profession.
You know, I think it's probably in the best place right now than it's ever been. Like in the book, both my parents are divorced and they've been remarried multiple times.
So that is true.
Yes.
That part's true? That's crazy.
Not to each other, though.
Oh, that was just a literary device.
Yeah.
Okay. You'll figure this out when you read the book, people. But there's like a very interesting coupling, uncoupling right. situation. Okay.
But both my dad's been married like 7 times, I believe. I have, if you count all my step and half siblings, I have about 12 of them. It's kind of like a very complex family situation. And it's not like I feel like it's almost impossible to keep up with all of them all of the time. But the ones that I do is particularly like my mother, my father, my biological brother. I actually wrote recently a piece about my relationship with both my mother and father in regards to sex work. I interviewed them about it. And, you know, they both, whether or not they agree with the job in and of itself, feel... It seems that they feel fairly comfortable with my place in it. And they see that I've developed some sort of security and also confidence in this work that maybe I didn't have when I was younger. And I think that's kind of all I can really ask for as far as support from them. Because, you know, my mom is a fundamentalist Christian. She still holds those beliefs. And she's willing to come down and visit me in Los Angeles and hang out. And we can talk about...
So she can't be that fundamentalist. I mean, there's a fundamental issue here that she's, you know...
Right.
...decided to change, you know, course on.
You're absolutely right. But... You know, she's married to someone who was very recently a pastor, and we still have conversations regarding porn. And I basically point out to them, because they think that they are very ethical within their church environment, and they look down on a lot of mainstream religious movements that I think for the same reasons that I do, you know, that they're exploitative and are for profit and all this stuff. And I make the same analogy, like, all the arguments you're making against porn, I can make against Christianity. And so it becomes this thing where, like, look, we just have to kind of put that aside and say, you know, we're people and we love each other and we can empathize with all other aspects of our lives, and that doesn't need to get in the way. So
you're also in a band. The band is called Children, but it has two I's in it. And your bandmate is Chad Fjerstad, who's also a fellow porn performer. Music is clearly a passion of yours and has been for a long time. So tell me about this exciting EP.
Yeah, well, it's taken a long time to get out. We recorded this about a year ago, signed with a small record label from the East Coast, and they had this idea to... put a bunch of remixes on it, and it will be coming out November 11th. It's called The Other People. I think the most interesting part of our band is we're like a metal band, but we're mostly electronic. So like all our drums and backing tracks we've programmed, and they're all synthetic. So if you imagine like something like Nine Inch Nails mixed with like really aggressive metal, it's you'll find something like that, what we're doing. And we've taken a lot of care to... develop like a visual part of our band. I direct our music videos. We have two of them out. And like Tristan said, they're fairly extreme as far as the violent stuff. And we're putting out a short film based on our band, I think probably around the release of our EP on November 11th. So you can find that online soon.
Great. Thank you so much for spending this hour with us, Danny Wild. Every week, we are giving away a toy from Sport Sheets, and we give it away to someone who's asked a question on social media or who's emailed us. And because we've done this in front of a live studio audience, someone from that audience is going to get that amazing toy from Sport Sheets. And thank you to Danny Wild, who is the author of the book Come to My Brother, published by Queer Young Cowboys. He's one half of the synthetic metal band Children, whose EP is titled The Other People. And he blogs at trvewestcoastfiction.blogspot.com. Follow him on Twitter at Danny Wild. All of these links and more can be found at sexoutloudradio.com. Click on the link for episode resources. You can always find me at puckerup.com and on Twitter at Tristan Terramino. And tune in next Friday at 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern for another edition. Until then, I encourage you to keep the discussion going on facebook.com/asktristan, on Twitter at sexoutloudradio, and in your own life. Take some time to talk about sex out loud.
That's a wrap on today's show. Go to voiceamerica.com to listen to this and other episodes on demand or as podcasts. And make sure you come back next Friday night at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 Pacific, for Sex Out Loud with Tristan Terramino on Voice America Variety.
Sex Out Loud is brought to you by Good Vibrations, creating a buzz since 1977.